something not right. I feel like even saying that is such a chutzpah, because it's not a heaven yet. That we're going to heaven yet. But to talk about the Rishiv of Sona Halei was the Kran Livrocha, Mitzadach, I'm definitely not right to talk about him. But Mitzad Sheni, L'chayra, L'maisa, I'm going to say something. When a God of Yisrael passes away, and so suddenly, at such a young age, someone that was Mashpia, had hundreds if not thousands of Talmidim, and would have been Mashpia many tens of thousands had the Rebbeinu decided that he should stay with us. So, to talk about his godless Patriarch is definitely not my place, I'm not going to do that. Those Anashim Cheshuvim, who are Roi, to speak about that, like Rebbe Kirwitzit, and Rebbe Yaakov Julman, and many others who talked about Rebbe Shlomo's godless and Torah, it's a Ne'eman, they're Ne'emanim to talk about that, and it's not my place to even bring it up. But I can talk about Kama Inyanim that I saw with my own eyes in the years that I was in the Shir, when I was in the Pill, but Rebbe Shlomo was in the Shir for 4 or 5 years. And then the past 3 years, 3 or 4 years, when Rebbe Shlomo took over the yeshiva pretty much, even while the yeshiva, Rebbe Anjantzal, was still alive. And the things that I corresponded, I asked him, I called him on many different issues, and the guidance he gave me on those issues. So I'll talk about those things, and B'siyat Shrei Shol B'Zeicha to Mekabel from them, his Maisim Sam, his Eir, some Chizik, and it should be a big Ilu for his Neshama. Now I've said over many times, now if by the Levayan, but many of the Hespedim, they always talked about the Mesibas, the Chanukah and Purim by Reb Shlomo. And the reason is because Kozman, the Yeshiva was active in the Yeshiva, so Reb Shlomo never said Memorim, he didn't say Torah, he didn't have people over there. But Chanukah and Purim was the exception. So Chanukah and Purim, the Eilim used to go to Reb Shlomo's house, and he'd go for hours and hours and hours. Purim would go way to the middle of the night, and pass way past the middle of the night. But there was no Ein Shir, there was no Zman, it was all the Maila from everything. And those times, Reb Shlomo was the times he really displayed himself and said, in Moshe Tevah, Nigla, and in Pneumius, and all the other Reb Shlomo did. So I have Torah that I heard from him during those Zmanim, those many years that I went Chanukah and Purim to his house, both Leil Purim and Purim Day before I went to the Maimer in Yeshiva. And he said over, I heard this from him several times, that I've said over from here many times, that he would say over that by Noach it says the Mesut Shvachai Befanav Kudosh Shvach Shloi Befanav, and the Psalm would say over the Shiva would say over Mash Dvam Nifloi, and the Psalm was able to take a small vort where it was a goyim a Rashi a Rekeach, whatever it was that he brought up, sometimes Sosum. Something seems very hard to understand, and he would talk about it, he was blaming on it, and he'd say Torah that was Megalim, Mamish, Yisraitis, Neflois, from all these things. And Rashi says, that one time it calls him a tzaddik, calls him tzaddik tomim. And Rashi was explaining, based on a Pachad Yitzchak, that on the Sugya of Chacham Adav Minavi, that a Chacham is Adav Minavi, is the Pshat, that a Navi is Zeichet, a Givuyim from Hashem Yisvach, Shem's Megala, Nevuah to a Navi. But a Chacham exists in a time where the Nevuah is not in his Gala, there's no Gilir of Nevuah. So the Chacham has to go a Sach Tifer, much deeper to Messiaches to Torah. Since there's nothing to go, it's not in your face, it's not there, it's not revealed. So you have to go into the world of the not revealed. When a person goes to the world that's not revealed, so it's a much tiefer, much deeper, much more profound than the world that is in his Gala. So Mamela, Chacham Adav Minavi, and Navi gets the Giluyim, but a Chacham goes into the world that's not Begoli. The world that's Nister is the world of the Chacham. And he was saying that Befanav Shloi Befanav is the pshat that when Kozman, there's a Gilui of something. A person Megal himself to us. We see him moving, we see him talking, we see him doing things. It's Begoli, it's Befanav. So a person can only understand, since it's Begoli, he can only understand Mitzvah Shvach. Only some of the shevach of that individual you can see because he's begalu. Your messiah is to that which he's been megalu to you. But kula shvacha is davka shloi b'fan. Davka when it's not begalu and you can't see him anymore and you can't taste him, you can't hear him, you can't look at him, you can't. So then you have to be zeichet to the ilm hanister, the chelik hanister of that individual. That's real kula shvacha shloi b'fan. Davka shloi b'fan was a person zeichet to understand Kula Shvacha, the entire Shvacha of that person. And he would talk about how that's Negev, Tosh of Zav, Tosh of Alpeh, that Tosh of Alpeh, Tosh of Chsav is Begolui, Mamela, that's one Madriga, but Tosh of Chsav is not Begolui. It comes the Derech HaChochma, since the Derech HaChochma, it's in Bisiachas Oyim HaNister. Mamela Chochma, Adov Minavi, and therefore Purim and Chanukah, so he's talking about how the Mashlam, the Keser, the Zion Mitzvahs, the Abonon, a Mashlam Tayag Mitzvahs, and Tayag and the Zion together is a Gematria Keser. That the abundance of from the Ilma Kesser, which is the mile from Chochmah, the mile from everything. And this thing is talk about every Purim and Chanukah, can you say this over? But the Maisa, I knew Rav Shlomo, and it was there in Yeshiva, I left over 17 years ago. But I was there in the Shir for many years. And the Maisa, now that he's not here anymore, there's nothing Begolui. What the Maisa and the Torah and the Inyonim that are coming out are Mamish Kulish Vochei, much more beyond our sagas than we ever thought of who we're dealing with. And the reason was because Rav Shlomo was a person that was just naturally a halakha person. He naturally was a yid that lived b'ktusha and tahara. He was a yid that naturally thought about Torah and was excited about Torah, had this Torah, had midas tevis, and there was nothing that was a stretch, nothing looked like it was hard, nothing was like b'deichek at all. There was nothing, like he was, and he lived his life b'ktusha and tahara with asmatas and Torah and midas tevis. And there was no stress. He never saw any stress with Chalim. He was Ish Manucha. It was misleading. Because by certain people, you see they're being Oivet, very shy, to be Misgaber on the Midas Reis. And he never saw that by Shlomo. He was an Ish Kodesh. He was an Ish Tor. He was a Lamdan. He was a Lamdan. And that's the way it was. And it was natural. It was good. And it was living with Manucha. And he was always happy. And he was always. So if you weren't paying attention, which the Maisa Kinnear, most of us weren't, you missed the goddess, you missed everything that he was, besides his goyness. I'm not talking about his goyness and Torah, just his issues, who he was and what he represented. So as I was speaking to Chaverim of mine, I went back to Yeshiva, and I was speaking to Chaverim when I was there, and his Maisim Amash Dvarim Noiroyim, that Reb Shlomo was a person that his whole life was Torah, his Eisiv by Torah, and he was Misamik in Torah. So by the Shiva, there was a Bachar who came, a Russian, but not a Bachar anymore, a Russian younger man. He wasn't in Yeshiva, but at one point in time he was in Chaybulin. Now back in the day, when I was in Yeshiva, so the Shiva, Bayan Shechter Zatzal, he loved everybody. And there was nobody that he didn't love, didn't want to bring into Yeshiva. So we had all types of interesting characters in the Yeshiva, whether they're Israelis, whether they were French, whether they were Persian, whether they were Russian, whether they were whoever, even let me in the Yeshiva. And Levaisa, we had all types of characters there. So he had all these Russian chevra that were there, and these Russian chevra, they didn't know Lashon Kodesh, even, I don't know if they were in Shabbat Shabbat, I don't know what was going on in the Yeshiva, but anybody wanted to come, the Yeshiva never turned anybody away. So by the Shiva, sometime they were there, and this Russian married individual was there, and he talked about how you know, he was never understood Shir, he never really went to Shir, never understood anything that was going on, but he used to love those coffees, and he got to choose with Reb Shlomo Shabbos morning when he had the coffee together with Reb Shlomo the Yeshiva. And everyone's looking around like, what? Coffee, what? So apparently, what happens, Reb Shlomo would get up early, I mean, I don't know, he probably hardly ever slept, but there was this Yid, it's a Brochina, a Russian person who just came, out of 20-something years ago, and he pushed it, he had nothing in his life, and one day he knocked on the door of Reb Shlomo on his way to, you know, his way to Shakan or what he was doing, and he asked the Shiva, said, I forgot to say, make myself a coffee, and he went to Reb Shlomo's house, said, "Does Reb Shlomo, do you have a coffee? Can I have a coffee?" I said, "Fine." So Reb Shlomo went and made him a coffee, and this person, this Bach at the time, he sat down by the table drinking the coffee, so Reb Shlomo joined him. So apparently it became a religious thing that every week this person come to Reb Shlomo's house before Shabbos on Shabbos and have a coffee with him. And Reb Shlomo never asked him to leave, never did anything, and he's perfectly fine. He wants to have a coffee with me, have a coffee with me. And it was just such a dinas and nefesh that a person so dovek and terah, he would turn it all down in a second that this Russian yid, this person, the Balchuga, wanted to have coffee with him. So he had a coffee with him. And he had all types of characters coming to that house. He had mishpachas. I didn't know that. I mean, I remember sometimes when I was there, and there were people that were there that was quite interesting. But he would have a mishpacha who they couldn't make ends meet, and it could be they had mental issues, whatever it was. And they would appear whenever it was, the middle of the day in Shabbos. They come in the middle of 2 o'clock in the morning, knock on the door, "Can we have a suda by you on Leil Shabbos?" and every time just let them in. No problem, he would come and he'd serve them and he'd give them food. I mean, he was such a yid that he was so mevater in every aspect of himself just for the sake of others all the time. Now, he had such an adinus hanefesh, meaning he was such a sensitive person in ruchnius, that there are many meisim that we saw, and this became popularized recently by the Levite, but he said it over. But he said over the Reb Shloimeh never drove a car. He never drove. He lived right by Yeshiva, but if he had to go to Lakewood for a chasen, he went to a bus, he would never drive a car. So it was inspired that the reason why he never drove a car was because he knows that if he drives a car, he's got to look to the right, to the left, in the streets. He might see something that was not seriously. He might see something that was that princess in it, something. And he was so mad in Shmei Sinai, he couldn't bear the idea of opening up his eyes in the street and seeing something that was inappropriate. So Taka never drove his whole life. He was nifta at the age of 66, what I understand. He never drove a car. And if you go into a car, someone drove, he closes his eyes. Meaning, he wanted nothing to do with anything that was not completely kosher. Then he remembers that Maisa and Munsi, this I remember, I was still in Yeshiva back then. The Maisa and Munsi, where there was an individual selling Knira, selling tarfus to people, and chasanos. And it happened to come out that one of the Balkim Yeshiva just got married, made one of these holes that was supplied by this person. And my good friend Yitzchak Shachter, I think it was Yitzchak Shachter, the Shiva Shachter's grandson and Reb Shlomo's nephew, was with Reb Shlomo when he heard this news that there could have been tarfos at this chas that they went to. And he said Reb Shlomo broke down with bechiyas meiros, uncontrollable crying and sar and bawling at the fact that it could be the A-treif. It wasn't pshat that it was over in Isser, or there was no Isser movie here, meaning, but the fact that something treif could have entered his mouth, and this is 20 years ago, this is when Reb Shlomo was in his 40s, and just bawling and crying uncontrollably at the idea and the havamina that maybe some tarfus came into him. It wasn't a game, and it wasn't fake, and it wasn't a shtolz, and it wasn't anything on the outside. It was mamish. He desired kedusha and he desired tahara, and anything that could have shtared that was too much for him to deal with. I asked the Rishiva Reb Shlomo about 4 months ago in the summer. I went to Reb Shlomo's house. I had a whole bunch of shilas on a piece of paper that I wanted to ask him. So I went to his house and we sat down together. When he walked, it was like a lobby, whatever it's called, before you get into the ikka part of the house. And we sat there and we spoke for over an hour. And I asked a whole bunch of shilas. And I asked him a shayla that a friend of mine, one of the shayla, I asked him many shaylas, but I told him, a friend of mine was looking for a job for quite a long time. And the only job that he could find was that he had to work in the office, and Baruch Hashem is going to be a decent living, a nice panasa. But he had to go into this office, and in that office, there were people that we would not, whatever, Bali to Eva, people that did very inappropriate things. And he wanted to know if, this person asked me, I said, no, I can answer that question. He asked me, is that something I shouldn't take? Well, might say I need a job, and they're decent people, they don't talk about things that they do behind closed doors. So, is this a job that I should take or a job that I shouldn't take? I said, I don't know. I said, I can't answer this question. But I went to him, so I asked him this shayla. And as I said the words to him, what the shayla was, he cringed. And he closed up and he cringed. And I said, so what should I tell him? And he said, if he really needs, even if he needs the work, and even if these people are not going to say anything negative, they're not going to talk about what they do behind closed doors. And they're not going to talk about any of the tu'evas that they do. Just sitting in the same room with such an individual caused such a pagam and nefesh. You should tell him that's not nichl and chiv shtabas. And I was dispelled from it, meaning he just was just sitting in the room with such a person that you know he does these things. How can you sit in the room with him? How can it? It's such a pagam and nefesh. That's what I'm saying over and over again. It's much a pagam and nefesh. Tell him that's not part of the shtabas. Certain adinus, certain kedusha that he had, certain tahara that he had, certain things, pasha, he couldn't be saved them. It was not negate, it was impossible. And they talked about this by the Levaya, and I saw it with my own eyes many times. His zahiris in Dibur. He was so careful what he said and careful what he didn't say. And if he didn't want to talk about something, you couldn't force him to talk about it. It was not negate, it was impossible. Now, in Yonit Tznius, about his own life, about his own Avedis Hashem, Tznius was not shy. Meaning, he would walk around, and the way that would be Magdir, not that I'm barachi to Magdir anything, But he lived in the reality with Rabbeinu Shalom. It's just the Metzias. He lived in this mokum pnimi with Rabbeinu Shalom. And I heard it quoted a few times. A friend of mine, Yosef Chaim Denziger, just wrote an article that's going to be in the Chayenu, and he sent it to me to look at. And in there it says, I heard the story from other places, that Shlomo Kiyadua was so makbid after he got sick about over a year ago that he didn't tell anybody about it. And my Rebbetzin, who was there, she went to Menachem Oval with me when we went during the Shiva. So the Rebbetzin Haliwa, told my Rebbetzin that Reb Shlomo told her that not even tell her sisters. Meaning her sisters also didn't know that Reb Shlomo was sick. Because he was so makbid, don't anybody to know about it. So somebody asked him, like, why is it that the Rishim is so makbid not to let anybody know about this chayla that he had? Like, down for him, whatever. So he said, and this is the shpach he used, I don't know what the word is exactly, but it's in the tznis, I guess, he said that it's kedai to try and live your life like Adam Rishon Kedam Achid. That all there was Adam Rishon and the Rebbeinu Shalom, and that's it. And it's kedai to live your life like that. Meaning that by him, no one else existed. The Rebbeinu Shalom was the only matter. And the Rebbeinu Shalom knew that he was sick. And that's why, and I didn't want anybody else to know. No, it's not his business. He didn't want anybody else to be busy with his things. He said he wanted to live alone with Rebbeinu Shalom, and that was it. And when he was being mispowered, when he was davening for himself, when the chayli started getting worse, they said by Levaya, Victor Kidd was said by Levaya, that he wanted to go daven by a particular kever. They're driving somewhere, and he said, oh, this is Pesach Chaim. Oh, plane is buried there. I want to go. And he still wanted to go there, but he said, before I go, it was Yedua that this Yid was a Kaddish Vatar. That was the Shprach that they used. It was Kaddish Vatar. He said, I can't pass a go to his cave without going to the mikveh first. But, Shama said, but Lemaisa, someone else is driving, I mean, there's two cars, and there's a Bacher driving. And if he knows I won't go to the mikveh, it's Pashim not Sneezdik. Not Sneezdik because he has to go to the mikveh. Because that's an Isaac and a Vayitz Hashem, an Isaac and Tahara, and that's something that the Finmashur said in, and I don't want anybody to know I did something the Finmashur said in. So I sent this over to somebody by one of his children, to all of his children there, by Levi, I sent this over. And one of them said the Pshat is because he didn't want any Bochum to get the idea of to make such a big ikar to go into the mikvah, because then they might not make an ikar of the Yom HaTayr. He didn't want anybody to know about it. But Levi said, I hold this Mamashak, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is, the Rishim Rabbi Shachter Zatzal would say over many times that a person's relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom is his business. It's not for anybody else's asik. It's davish b'kedusha. Any relationship that means something, anything that has meaningful to a person and take into it, he doesn't share it with others. Because once you share something with others, you ruin it. It's nobody else's business. So that's choshu, you hide away. When you have something, a beautiful thing, you hide it away. You don't give it up for the public consumption. So something that's about a Vayit Sashem, it's partially not sneezing to let anybody else know about it. So he wanted to go to this kever, but he said it wasn't kedai. Meaning, he'd rather not go to the kever, to daven there, and go to the mikveh beforehand if another person's going to know about what he did. Because it's partially not sneezing. He's doing this for the Bayin Shalom, and for anybody else to know, it's not b'derech etzniz. I think that was the pshat. Now, as the Havas Torah, we saw it many times by us. I remember that, I don't remember which Masechta it was, but when coming out, I remember when the Ritva and one of the Masechtas they didn't have had come out. I think it was Masechta Shabbos, but it could be Babasa, I don't remember right now. But one of the Masechtas from the Ritva, they just came out, they found it at the Vatican maybe, and they reprinted it, and now they had it. And it was the day after it came out, and Reb Shlomo was sitting there in the back of the Beis Medrash in Chaim Berlin, and I walked over to him, and he looked very happy, and I said, can I ask the Rishiva, not Rishiva, can I ask Rabbi Yishayel? See ya. He said, have you heard about the new Ritvas? And he says, Aaron David, you wouldn't believe it. He said, for years and years and years, I'm looking for a mocker and a Rishonim that there's a chiv to put on tefillin every single day. Because Pashup Shad is a mechiv to put on tefillin all the time. There's no din dafka every single day. You have to wear tefillin. But the Maisa brought down the Paiskim that way, and I never found a mocker and a Rishonim this way. He said that I got the Ritva yesterday, and I found this mocker for this din, that Zechir don't fill in every single day, and he was so besimcha about it. But he was being mechaka all the time. He had this halacha, he wanted so bad to find out, and when he got this ritva, he searched the entire ritva to find out if the ritva talked about it, unless he pashal learned every single ritva that night, which he might have done. He was so excited that he found finally a mock for this din. remember when there was a certain Chumash Hagra that, I don't know if it was the Chumash Hagra, what are the Sfarim they reprinted, they put out, and it was a big shame, it was real, it was Mezuyah, what the whole story was. So I was with my friend Yossi Wexler, we were together by Bshlomo's house, I don't remember why we were there, but we were at Bshlomo's house, and we asked him what he has to say, if this is a Mezuyah or it's real, what's the... So he looked at us and said, I don't know. So I don't know what anything about it. I said, but did Rebbe hear if it's from Zuya, if it's for real? And he said, bring me one of the Svarim. I said, fine. I said, if I bring Rebbe one of the Svarim, Rebbe could tell me if it's real or not? I said, yeah, I don't know. And I remember thinking to myself, but how, like, I think we even asked him, well, how do Rebbe know? I said, if I saw a goy, I would know that it's a goy. And it wasn't Pshat because he had such a bekias, he knew all the Torah Sagra. That wasn't Pshat. Pshat was that he was so misamic in the Torah Sagra that he understood it so well and so deep that if it wasn't from the Goyin, he would know it. If it wasn't from the Goyin, he would see it from the Torah. He would know there's from the Goyin in that. Only somebody has Emes HaHavas Torah, who really believes he understood the Torah Sagra, understood the Yerid Nusayv, not Sayv Taitai, but the Chalapach is Yerid Ladas Sagra, understands the Halach and Torah and all these in Yonim and Primius, then he would know. And I was always in the spot from that. So I said, Tak out, if you get what's showing off, he's just being honest, just show it to me and I'll be able to tell him, I'll know if it's real or not. And then when I was over at his house at that time, which was recent when I spoke to him, oh, even before that though, during Corona, during the whole Kufa of Corona, of COVID, so that was around the time of the Yeshiva where Rav Shlomo really took over the Hanhagas HaYeshiva. So I had called him a couple of times to speak to him about Divinei Nanim, about COVID, yeah, no, whatever. And during that time, he had a shita, and he was very makkud about it, that not to go to any online learning. That time, and the most we did it here, and a lot of places they did online learning, meaning since they couldn't go to Yeshiva, the Chol HaPachas, everybody should get together, they could tune in on Zoom or on the Google Classroom, whatever it was. And so I was very adamant not to do it. Very adamant not to do it. And people didn't know why. He said, no, absolutely not. No, no, no. The Nine Yeshiva doesn't matter. You can't do that. So he said a very big thing. A Mashad Dvar Chochman. I mean, not that he needs me to say that, but he said that you don't try and solve a temporary issue by creating a permanent one. Said a temporary issue of Corona, it's a temporary issue, it's not going on forever, it's going to end someday. Someday it's going to end. Said, so what are you going to do? You're going to now turn to online learning? So then everybody gets used to going online, and online, and everybody's going lives online. So you're solving a temporary problem by creating a permanent one. I said, that you can't do. It's adamant about it. And the Maestro Mustafa saved many people this way. They don't make a permanent problem in order to save a temporary one. So I went weiter, but that, when I was speaking to Rabbi Shlomo in his house, when I sat for an hour, I asked him a bunch of shaylas, and I asked him a shayla. A friend of mine has a business. He works. Baruch Hashem, he does well, and he had a shayla. He should start over. He should start another business. He was learning a lot. He put hours and hours into Limud Torah a day, and he figured if he could open up his own business, so then he'll make a lot more money. It'll be much more matzich, much more financially stable for the future, and giving tzedakah. But instead of learning Lamasha 5 hours a day, he'd only learn an hour and a half a day. So I want to know if that's appropriate. Should he do that? Should he not do that? And again, I said, this is out of my, I can't answer these questions. So I asked Rav Shlomo the Shaila. So Rav Shlomo sat me down. I sat next to him, sat across from him. And I asked him the Shaila. And he starts thinking, he's like, what's the Shaila? I said, he learns Baruch Hashem 5, 6, or whatever hours a day. And Baruch Hashem, he does well. But if he goes and he opens up his own business, he'll take a lot of time out, but make a lot more money, more financial savings for the future. But he'll only be able to learn an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, as opposed to the 5 hours he does now. So I said again, so what's the shayla? I said, he wants to know if he should do that or not. I said, why would he do that? And I said, I don't know. Like, does he pay his bill? Yeah. So, not at all. And he couldn't understand what I was talking about. And so, explain to me what are your tutsdan? What are the tutsdan in there? And I said, no, he better to make more money. I said, what? I don't, there's no tutsdan in here. Tell him no. I said, okay, fine, I don't. So, fine, tell him no. But I mean, he couldn't understand what I was talking about. He was so manutted from money and from making more money. It's irrelevant. Because Isaac and Taylor, why in the world did you even have him? He kept on asking me. You're asking me a shayla, so you have something to say. Well, explain it to me. Explain it to the shayla. And he wasn't saying it for shtick. He wanted to know, what are you asking me? And then finally he kept answering it and said, forget it. Whatever. I know. And tell him no. It doesn't make any sense. So fine. So at the Levaya, and you can see this by Shabbat all the time, is that, you know, I was speaking to my friend Yossi Wexler, and Yossi told me a maisa, that, you know, I have a lot of maisa with the Rishiva Brian Shachter Zatzal on the airplane, because he couldn't ignore you, and he couldn't get away from me, so I had him next to me, even though he did threaten several times to throw me off the plane, but it wasn't really going to be very successful, but he would only say the very time, he would learn an effort, but Shlomo was more like, Shlomo could talk to him to a certain degree. So a friend of mine was on the airplane with Reb Shlomo going to a parliament meeting in Los Angeles. And Reb Shlomo said, they're speaking about, I'm sure it was in Yom Teir or whatever. And Reb Shlomo told him, that I partially need to prepare. I'm going and I have to say a share at this place. I'm saying a share at this place. I'm saying a share at this place. Just, I need to prepare. I'm so sorry. And thank you for coming with me, but I need time to prepare. Fine. So Reb Shlomo stopped and he looked up at the roof of the airplane for about 5 minutes, swaying back and forth. Okay, fine, what were you saying? And that was the preparation, that was it, that's how he prepared. And he was a super brilliant individual, but there was a different nekuda to this. The nekuda was that, I heard this from Gershon Ribner, and heard also from Victor Kidowitz, was that Shlomo was a person that, it was like almost like a mystical event, that he would start a sugya and he would learn through the Gemara and look at Rashi, Tesis, and look at the Rashba and look at all the Rishonim, and then he would stop. It'd take him whatever just to read the words, and then he would stop and he kind of like walk around for an hour or two, and he'd come back and just tell you the whole surah of the sugya, the svaras, the kashas, the trutzim, the diukim, every single one of the Rishonim, and have a whole mamish murach lefan of everything, mamish murach lefan of perfectly. And just sitting there, thinking about it for an hour and 2 hours, whatever it was. And he'd come back, boom, everything was clear, and mamash, clear like the day. How clear all the sugyas and the machlokes and the reason for the machlokes and the sibas and machlokes and the tchuna of the whole entire thing was mamash klarta. And they described that it was like somehow the Rishon was connected to a shefa of chokhmah that people don't have access to. That he would sit there and he would think, and he'd like be oilo, whatever, he was in this ala to. And just everything just flow into him and come into him and just a mind of his gaber over and over, just tongue and more time and more time all the time. That was his Indian. Shlomo lived in a world of premiums. And he used to come down and talk to us, you know, from that world of premiums to speak to those people that were ranting. But he lived that world of premiums. He lived that mitzias of other mission kaidan achet, but there's nobody else besides him, just the Rebbeinu Shlom. That was it. That was his life. And you could see him pacing around for hours and hours on Beis Medrash. And just thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And if we were ever there by the Chanukah Mesibas and the Purim Mesibas and then the Shalshudas, which Baruch Hashem is like to have the Torahs from Shalshudas that are coming every week, Maj Dvar Meiroyim, every single one. And Rabbi Yankel said over, the reason Rabbi Yankel Jolman Shlita said over, the reason Hashem is like to all these things, because his Chumras and Kedusha and Tahara was just so intense and so incredible. He lived life in such a Hechra Madrega that Pasha, the Mayanetz of Chochma just opened to him. And he's like to all the Eiris and all the Inonim. His midavakar said, "Tell you, they sent Maisim over that he took a bus and he went all the way to Lakewood for a chasen, and he ended up going to the wrong hall, and he had to get to the other hall, and he didn't have a car, and he didn't want to trick his family, whatever. How, and eventually got to the other hall. So somebody, and then he finally came back to Flatbush afterwards. It took 9 hours. Kids, he went to this chasen. This is before his Rishina. He was there, and he went. It much took him 9 hours to get there and back for the chasen." And I believe they said it was David Ribner, Gershom's brother, David Ribner, who's Talmud in the Shiva for many years, that he asked him, he said, Shlomo, what, it was Kedai the 9 hours? So he said, I don't understand where Shaila is. He said, the one making the chasana is a Balkir. Every single week for the past 40 years, he's Maitzim in Kriya Satoya. Someone's Maitzim in Kriya Satoya for 40 years. I shouldn't go for 9 hours to go to his chasana. It's a Kriya Satoya. Why shouldn't I? How can I not go? But Lemaisa, how many ever thought of the fact that Maitzim in Kriya Satoya? Who ever thought of the fact that someone is Balkari, imagine, whoever, he's being Maitzim in Kriya Satoya, the trust Chesed is doing for us, every single Shabbos. And Yuri Wolman, who was the Baal Kari when I was in yeshiva and for him for a long, long, long time. So he's mitzvah and kriyas haTorah every single week. How can I not go? And mamish, right at the end, the yeshiva, right at the end of Shalom, when he was mamish, right before Sukkot, when he had a luv and esrig, they said by Levaya that he always bought his esrig from the same person every single year. Bought luv and esrig, and it was very zohar in which luv he got, which esrig got. It was very didactic on it. And that year, and this individual, I don't remember who it was, but he would sell luv and esrig and buy Ravam Zucker's Zichron of the Bracha. And since Ravam Zucker had passed away not so long before this, so he couldn't go, he couldn't sell it by him anymore, so he was selling it in Muncie, where he lived. So Reb Shlomo Mamish, this is when he was so ill and so sick already, that that he had made plans with Shim Shishar, who was a shamish, to take him to Muncie to go by him. Reb Shlomo, that Reb Victor Kilo sent it over, that Reb Victor called up this meicher, and he said, I'm going to go to Muncie, and I'm going to get it from you there, because I have a car to take. So this meicher told Reb Victor Kilo, don't worry, just give it to Reb Shlomo. I'll give it to Reb Shlomo, and he's going to give it to you. They have to go. And Victor said, what? Give it to Reb Shlomo. He can barely move. What do you mean go to give it to Reb Shlomo? How are you going to get it to Reb Shlomo? He's coming. So what do you mean he's coming? Say he told me he's going to come. He said, every single year you come to me, for many years he came to me, so Luvan, I said, this year I'm going to go to you. He ended up not going because his pressure was too sick. He couldn't end up going. But the plan was to go. The meeting of Akar said, Taif is marriage, Oyim Venoya by Reb Shlomo. Just to, I don't know, I mean, whatever. Time is up, but Lamais, I could go on for a very long time to talk about him. Talk about Reb Shlomo. That's only me. I left yeshiva 17 years ago before he became, you know, before he said Torah and Shal Shudas and before he was managing the yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, on the phone, I was able to speak to him. But Lamais, I could just imagine the people that were there the entire time, what they had to say. But he said like this. He would talk about every year about the inyan of Chavim Divrei Sefer. And he said over on Ramban, the Ramban says Chavim Divrei Sefer, says Chavim is Lashon Chavim, to be hidden, to be nister, to be mechus, to be covered up and hidden. So it says Chavim Divrei Sefer, because you have to see the Ramban inside, this is what I'm saying over, because when Divrei Sefer is upshat, that Divrei Sefer, like I said earlier, Divrei Sefer would come from a Hecher Avel, a hidden world, a hidden Mitzias. And that world of Chavim Divrei Sefer, that's the Milo of Din of Derabonans, Din of a Chacham, because it comes from a Mokum of Pnimis. Even a Hecha, even a Mokum more Pnimi than Tershah, than Tershah Bechsav. Chavim Divrei Sefer, Lashon Chavli, to be hidden, to be Nister. And the Maya's resolve to see such a person lived in that Metzias of Nister. Live that reality where this whole world is a bottle of Gamri, and nothing mattered in this world. Money, couldn't stand the half a minute, why would you stop? You can make more money with Sheikhs. And to sit in a place where there's a Bali to Eva, such a pagam and nefesh, I can't even do such a thing. And the idea that he wanted an the idea to drive a car when he might see something that's in pagam as a nine, what's the having it? Of course I'm not going to drive. And the idea who lived Marshal Elam Achshava, that he would learn a sugya and go up to whatever the Elam Achshava he was in and come down a race with everything, clear, marish, every single nakuda. That's where Psalm was. And Ashim Yishirah, happy someone who saw him when he was alive, when he was cracking. If you look, I just heard, I got all the Maimon that he said this year, Chol Moed Sukkos. And it was a plea at Tzuma that he managed to nifter four or five days later. And if you hear what went on, his son Chaim Tzvi by Levayah would say he was with his father before they went to the Maimon Yeshiva in the new Sukkah by Gvoyavitz across the street. And he said the Reb Shlomo Pasha, he couldn't eat, the way he said it, he couldn't eat, and he couldn't drink, and he couldn't sleep, and he couldn't stay up, and he couldn't think. So the entire Yom Kippur, Pasha was in so much pain that Pasha couldn't be chavin and davening, but he was just there in yeshiva just so people should see him there. Whatever chizik could give to anybody by him being there, that's why he went to yeshiva. That was Yom Kippur. So this is already over a week after Yom Kippur. And his mom is just 4 days before his potato. And he asked him, Tom, why are you, or Abba, why are you going? He said, when I go and say Torah, I'm going to get my chiz back, I'm telling you. And I heard this memoir, and he sounds gewaldic in this memoir. He sounds like mamish, like he has his chiz there. And he said, even Pasha to get there, he had to suffer terribly just to get to yeshiva. He lived just 2 blocks away from yeshiva. And just to get there, he suffered tremendously. Once he said Torah, once his oil and the oil and the ideas of saying over Nesav and Tzadik, the Inun of Sukkot, and all the Inun that he said over, gave chiz, because he wasn't Pasha Elam Haz anymore. He's living in the Elam Achshav, the Elam Pnimis. And the Elam Pnimis is Kulei Bracha, Kulei Simcha, Kulei Chedva. And Mamela wasn't the gay, all the things that happened. That's what Reb Shlomo was, a leader who lived in Ema Pnimius, and he'd come out sometimes to visit us and tell us different things in Hadrocha, and he was so spot on all the time in any Hadrocha, in any days that he ever had to say. He much had it right every single time. And that's the Kech HaTayah, the Kech HaKetush, the Kech HaTayah, the Kech HaVaveda. And B'siyat HaDishmaya, Yizichu Baruch, the Zikaron of Reb Shlomo and his Aveda and his Torah, which now they're putting out, and his Mamish Rein Noiroim, they have just a mind of his Gabri, and he never wrote anything down, it was all in his head, it was all his leg, it was all his mech, it was a shepherd that was pushing, coming to him every time he opened up his mouth. And B'siyat Shema, his Torah near Shema, his Kudush, Tashem, Mashpeh, and all of us, Shema Yizichu Taka, that this Misa Tzadikim, Shetan Be'a Kapov, the Gansavat, the Gula, the Kervi, Meinu Amin.